Hello, welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week Interviews. I am Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? That's great. This week we got some fun stuff as I am here in the palatial Patonzo Manor in Glen Burnie, Maryland, and I was able to get down to some Black Bears practice on Thursday afternoon, and graciously, President Robin Remick and Communications Coordinator Colin McCarthy welcomed me with open arms, as well as a Gen HL History Girl. It's been a fun time so far. We're only in day two of the trip, which is making it an even 500 for this trip after a hellish travel day on Wednesday. But I digress. Luckily, we rebounded on Thursday very well, and we got some great content for you guys. Sadly, my rig didn't show up properly because I forgot some cords, but luckily the Black Bears had some things that they could help me out with, and we got some good video, which will be up on the Black Bears socials and stuff, I'm sure, very soon. We got a bevy of interviews for you this week as we talk to Fort Ethan Heideprim, who tells us his story from traveling all around to end up in Maryland, including some stops in Western Canada before coming to Maryland. We'll also talk to Hampus Rydqvist, head of Swedish Heritage Night this weekend at the Den in Piney Orchard. We'll talk to him about his adventure from Sweden over to Maryland, and we'll follow up with head coach Clint Millamuck and just talk a little bit about the break and how this team can keep rolling through the break, and also the communication that he and his players have with each other going forward. This week we got Players Against Hate game on Friday, and of course it actually started at Piney Orchard Ice Arena. So to see where it all started and to see where it's come right now, very cool to see, especially after the national stage attention they got towards last season. So if you use the code PAH at tickets.marylandblackbears.com, you can get some discounts there with that. And then on Saturday, we got Swedish Heritage Night. There's going to be a special puck drop by someone from the Swedish Embassy. It's really good. Interesting time. Of course, we're going to talk to Hampus Rydqvist here in a minute about that. So it should be a fun weekend. You guys should come down because there's going to be 2 weeks off after this. It's only a very few home games left in the season, so why not get down to the Den, cheer on your Maryland Black Bears, and get them going for the second half of the season. But we'll start off with Ethan Heideprim, who started in Ohio, O-H-I-O. Before moving out to Alberta, then Central Canada, before landing in Maryland. Talk a little bit about his adventure, his journey, and we'll go to an interview right now. We recorded a little earlier.
All right, we're here with Ethan Heider from the Maryland Black Bears. Ethan, thanks for joining me, man. How are you doing? How's the holidays?
Doing well. Holidays were good. New Year's good. Christmas good. It's great to see the family.
Great to be back at the rink, though, too. Huh?
It was really nice to be back to the rink because we ended the first half really well and we're ready to go for the second half.
Yep, so before we get to where we're at now, we got to go to where we've been. And, you know, you've kind of been all over. You started in Belle Tire, and you played for the Junior Blue Jackets, I believe, and then you went to a Canada excursion. I guess growing up in Ohio, it was just kind of a burgeoning market with the Blue Jackets starting to get better and better. How is it for you to get started into a market that's not really, I guess, well-known for the hockey?
It was tough. I always had to travel for hockey just because the area I lived in wasn't big into it. But the Blue Jackets had a great program going. Ed Ginger, the coach there, really had something special, and he's a great coach. And he got to pass along the U18 team, but that really helped to get to where I am. And it was really nice just because where I was from, it wasn't big on into hockey and.
Sure.
Stuff like that. So.
And then you made the jump over to the Alberta Junior League, which is quite the tough league. Was it a big adjustment for you there?
Yeah, it was a big adjustment. It being the first year of juniors, and then they play a quick, fast-paced game, and it's physical there. So it's definitely an adjustment being a smaller player.
Yeah, and then you go to, after that, Pembroke, and that was another journey for you.
Right.
You've logged a lot of miles, I have to say, before you even came down here. Does that give you the experience now that you need to kind of adjust and adapt as you see fit?
Yeah, so miles traveled was never unusual for me, mm-hmm. So it's just another journey, and then it kind of helped get here, and then now I'm good to go, and we're ready for the second half.
So. How have you liked it here so far?
It's great. The guys have been good, even though we kind of shuffled around our lineups and our rosters a bit. But we're kind of being consistent with what we're about and what we're doing. So,
what have you liked out of your guys' play so far? I mean, personally and also with the team.
We start simple, and then we get naturally more skill developed into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we have questions, whenever we're trying to learn new things every day, we kind of go back to the basics and we can answer our questions, and then we can develop from there. as opposed to kind of being iffy on topics. We always have the answer. We can just have to look back and ask questions.
Do you think that's for you seeing that, being able to have the coaching staff so open, does that make it more comfortable for you as a player to be able to make mistakes and then learn from them?
Yeah, definitely. So, 'cause if you make a mistake, you just ask questions and then they're really supportive about it and you learn and you go and you're ready to go for the next time.
Looking ahead, second half right now, 5-game winning streak, break comes along. Do you think that's going to hurt a little bit of momentum, or do you think you guys needed that rest a little bit to keep the wheels going?
You could say it either way. I think we needed the rest, and our mindset hasn't changed from when we left and from when we came back. So the break was nice for our bodies mostly, but mentally too. It was nice to go home and get a break.
And second half of the season, what are you guys looking for? Obviously, playoffs is going to be the key thing right now, and there's a lot of bunched up in the middle of this East Division. What can you guys do different, and how can you guys adjust? Do you think you'd be able to adjust quicker on the fly now that you've seen these teams once or twice through?
Yeah, I think we've seen everything that we need to see. I just think it goes to taking it one day at a time, one practice at a time, one battle at a time. And if we do that every time we go on the ice, I think big picture, it'll all work out.
Ethan Heideprim, forward for the Maryland Black Bears. Thank you very much, man. Best of luck in the second season.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks to Ethan for that time. And then, of course, you know, you go anywhere for hockey, you go anywhere to succeed, and that's exactly what he is doing right now. And you want to talk about going the distance, going for speed. We got ourselves Hampus Rydqvist, who made the trip all the way over from Sweden to come to North America to play the game there to get more acclimated to it. And he tells us the difference between what he sees in the game from a European perspective now to a North American mindset that he has to have now, as well as he gives us a nice little culinary suggestion for what we should try in our own homes after Swedish Heritage Night on Saturday.
Hampus Rydqvist, defenseman for the Maryland Black Bears. Thanks for joining me, man. How was the holiday?
It was very good. It was good.
Good?
Down in Florida with some
holidays. Oh, really? Well, the lucky guy you were. So we have Swedish Night here in Piney Orchard. How do you feel about that? People actually coming to celebrate your heritage here. How do you feel that you do like that a lot? You like people saying?
I feel special.
Yeah?
I feel special. My family's here, too. My mom and dad. And, of course, they're my biggest fans. So it's like, it's awesome playing in front of them, and of course you recognize Sweden here in the U.S. That's fun.
I heard your mom saw you play in the last series. You got a goal. Excited. How does it feel to have your parents travel over here to watch you play?
It's a big experience. Like, because it's far from home for them,
right,
too, and to score a goal in front of them, it's always fun because they're my biggest fans.
Mm-hmm.
They always supported me in my hockey, so it's good.
And you've been a lot of places, and we'll start in Sweden first. You played with the Frölunda program before you went to Malmö. Like, what is the game like in Sweden? Like, how do you guys kind of train over there? What is the training regimen like?
It's a little bit more, because it's a bigger ice,
mm-hmm.
so it's a little bit more, like, hold the puck, more possession of the puck, not as much South North hockey. Is more like, yeah, hold the puck and making plays. It's more like in power play here.
Okay.
When you set up, that's the kind of hockey we play in Sweden overall.
Yeah.
5-on-5. Yeah. That's it.
So how, like, to play in a place like Frölunda that has so much history, did that kind of, when you went into the program, did that scare you a little bit to have to live up to the people who came before you, or is that something you took pride in?
It's something I took pride in, because that's where I started my career. I started that when I was like 2 years old after a little hockey league there. And I went through the program, and as you said, I was down in Malmö for 2 years, and then I came back. And so it's my hometown, my home team, so I felt a lot of pride playing for Finland.
And then this is your first year over in North America. How has the transition, we'll start hockey-wise first, because you said Sweden more possession game. With this North-South hockey, is it different from you to adapt to the new game?
Yes, it was difficult at the beginning. I felt like right now I am more comfortable, not really there yet,
mm-hmm.
I think, but I got some stuff to improve. But it's It's I'm more comfortable now with playing north south. That goes quicker.
Exactly. Yeah. You kind of have to be, right?
Yes.
How about transitioning to Maryland and being in the States? How has that been culturally for you, getting adjusted to a new country, a new kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a. Now I'm blanking out here. Customs, new customs and everything like that. How has that been?
It was weird in the beginning. Mm-hmm. As I've said to everyone else who's asking, it's like everything is like more like bigger.
Yeah.
It's kind of the right word there.
Yeah.
I'm getting used to it now. I got a really good Miller family that helps me, and since it's a really good, like, they're very good, so I like thrive here.
Cool, excellent. Well, how do you think about this season so far? You guys are on a 5-game win streak, rolling pretty well. What has been the key to success for the team this year?
I think coming together as a group and having the right energy, positivity, because we know what we have to do hockey-wise, but if we come together as a group and have the same mentality on the ice, then we, as like the last 5 games, we win if we do that. So,
with looking into the future, obviously, playoffs are the big thing right now.
Yes.
Is it going to be easier for you guys to adjust to other teams' attack if you've seen them a couple times? Because you're going through, like, we've seen Northeast a couple times, Wilkes-Barre, everything like that. Is it going to be easier for you guys to adjust your gameplay if you get stuck?
Yeah, probably. Especially for the guys who hasn't played in the league. Mm-hmm. You get to know the team better, and this second half of the season it's going to be easier because, yeah, as you said, you get to know the teams and the players and the other teams, so yeah.
One Swedish delicacy we should try during Swedish Heritage Night. What's one food that we need to try that we might not have here in Maryland?
Well, I gotta say, because I like it, but no one else does, but herring.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. I'll try some herring. And is there anything I need to put on top of it special, or?
Maybe not, but if you try the Swedish caviar, that's not very, no one likes that either, but if you try that, you put that on an egg, mm-hmm. That's really good.
That's where it's at?
Yeah, that's really good.
Well, Swedish Heritage Night this Saturday for the Maryland Black Bears at Pine Orchard Hampus. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks to Hampus for his time. I don't know if I would like the caviar or fish, but hey, when in Rome, fiddle as it burns. I don't think that's the saying. In any case, we're now joined by head coach Clint Millamuck of the Maryland Black Bears. Talks about the break and what these players can do in terms of staying hot after a little holiday break, as well as what this year has brought in terms of communication with his players and what he wants to do and how he communicates with them in order to succeed for not only them now, but also in the future as well.
Coach, how are things? Thanks for joining me, man.
You bet. It's good to be here. Good to see you back.
Yeah, good. It's good to be around here. And, you know, it's quite the energy you guys had for practice this morning. Great for after a holiday break. Like, what is the thing you're trying to drill down for this weekend?
Yeah, it's simple. Simple. I mean, we tried to remind them just throughout the week. The first message, we had a few buzzwords and had the captains come in and tell us what they thought we need to strive for in our first series back, first practice back. And they did a good job of relaying the message to everyone else. And in practice, it's honestly, man, you fight hard for it. It's just simple. Really simple basics. Work hard, compete, but simple. Do not complicate things. Of course, there's a good vibe. Everyone comes back from the break. I'm excited, and our guys were happy with how we played before we left, and then they're excited about the possibilities and where we can go from there.
That'd be stifling that you're on a 5-game win streak and then have the holiday break, or is that something that you guys, I was talking to some other guys,
yeah.
It seemed like good for, I guess, mentally as well, to have that break off and not have to mix holiday and hockey as well.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when's a good time for a break? I think in the end, it's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we that's done. We start now, and we don't even talk about that. We discuss what we were doing well and remind them of how we were successful, but we don't. It's not a big deal to us.
As you hit the drive to the second half of the season, what's the thing you're trying to drill down most to these guys, especially as you go through this schedule 2-3 times against these teams?
I think, like a lot of coaches at all levels, when we have success, remind the guys what makes us successful and makes them successful as players. I think at all levels, when you start having success, you start thinking, oh, I can start doing a few other things that are out of the realm of what we're teaching or what we're wanting them to do, and then they kind of get stuck. We're there to remind them consistency is good, doing the same thing over and over, muscle memory, our systems, how they play, how we play, how we enter zones, exit zones, until a team learns how to stop it, we're going to keep doing what we do. And then we can think about what we are practicing as well as when they start doing that, we have something else for them. So the buy-in's got to be huge, and we're just trying to remind them of what made us successful as individuals and as a team, and just honestly, a lot of meetings with players and just having them tell us what makes them successful, and then we give them feedback, and by the time they leave the room, we're in agreement on what makes them a good player, which in turn makes us a good team.
How much does that help you to have the players be confident enough to be able to come to you and Brandon to say, hey, this is what I kind of need to succeed, and talk it out with you guys? You feel that's good for the open door communication?
Huge. It's an era where kids need to know. They need feedback, and a lot of kids don't want to come in the door, and you can tell them, hey, the door's open, come in anytime. Some kids are great. They'll come in and talk, and they'll have questions or concerns about or whatever it may be. I think you have to meet with them individually, even if it's for 2 minutes, to discuss one thing, or bring them in to show them a clip. We have a lot of feedback. Brandon does a great job of providing video, and he's there for the players anytime as well. So I think that's really important for the players to understand. We have confidence in them, and if they play a certain way, we also tell them, hey, once we know what kind of player you are, you have to stay that way. We'll keep adding to your game, but once we know how to play you, because you're consistent, then it's all good. And I think that's the important thing is them being able to understand whether they agree or not, they have to understand this is how we have to do it today. Then we can always maybe add and tweak a few things as they go. But getting back to your original question, it's huge and it's important as part of not just hockey, it's part of life now. It's no longer a dictatorship. The players have to have feedback. They also have to be able to express their own opinions. And but then, once again, sometimes I tell them, hey, this is the part of the game where you just have to listen and do what we ask, and we'll talk about it after the period or after the game. But that's trust, and it takes time. You have to build it.
And we have Swedish Heritage Night coming up this weekend, and you have a couple Swedes on the team, oddly enough, that we have this night. How has it been for them, their transition? Obviously, I was talking to Hampus earlier. He said it's a different game. It's a more possession game in Sweden. We're here. It's a North-South game. Was it hard to transition some of these foreign players to get to this North American game, or how much did you ease them into that?
There's, I think, a big part with the Swedish kids we've had is it is a different game. And one huge thing that gets overlooked is the communication aspect. I can talk to these kids right away and have conversations. So when they're frustrated or with the first guy or don't quite understand, they can articulate and ask questions. Where sometimes foreign kids come in and it's a lot of pointing and showing clips and not really able to have a conversation. They're both mature young men. Reichfist, like anything, you tell them, hey, it's going to be some time, but this is how we play. And getting rid of their habits of being a big ice, and like there's not as many places to hide in North America. You can get stuck somewhere in the European ice and then turn to your right and you get 8 feet to the boards. Where here, you turn, you're hitting the board. So yeah, it's a different game. And Reichfist is really, really, before December even, he started showing signs. He's getting what this league is about and the game in North America. And Jakobsen, same thing. Like he's learned that, hey, simple is good. Delays and making fantasy plays are tough at this level in this league. They've done a great job, and they're both key contributors, and they're both guys that their work ethic is great. They work hard every practice, and they're good kids too.
Have they given you a delicacy that you have to try this weekend that they're going to bring through?
No. You know what? I'll have to ask them about that. They're very proud of their heritage, obviously, mm-hmm. and I know they're excited about this night. So it's a great a great event, and I know they get a lot of ribbing from it from the other guys, but they enjoy it, and like I said, they're wonderful people. Like, that's the thing. I just think they're great kids.
Let's put them in luck. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good seeing you, Scotty.
Good seeing you.
So I'd like to thank all three of these the players and the coach for all the time that they've been given to us this week so far, especially ahead of game day. This week, of course, we have on Friday night, go to MarylandBlackBears.com, get some tickets for Player Against Hate Night, use the code PAH to get some ducats off of that. It's going to be a great night for all involved. And then on Saturday night, Swedish Heritage Night, there's going to be a fun-filled time, including possibly putting together some IKEA furniture. That could be a whole three intermission thing. Who's to say? But who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be a fun night out at the Den. I'll be there this weekend. Hopefully I'll see you guys out there this weekend as well as we get ready for a new year and then the downside of the schedule as we make the run towards the Robertson Cup playoffs. It should be a fun one with this team as hot as it is. It's going to be a great time for all. So that's it for now. I will see you guys on Friday and Saturday. I'm Scotty Watts. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week interviews on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction, powered by Blog Talk Radio. You guys have a good one. Talk to you next time. Get that clutch and crab hockey there, huh? I'm going to get some crab cakes from Natty Bev. It's going to be a good time for everybody involved.